Not very long ago, my wife and I, a long time ago, my wife and I were traveling in Southeast Asia, and we were separated from each other in two different teams. Those teams had translators, and some of the time when I was with my team, my translator and I got disconnected. Now, I could do okay getting around. I knew some basic Thai or Khmer, but not enough to get around really, so it was slow and frustrating. I had to point and smile and use hand gestures, and I found it to be really completely and utterly ineffective. I couldn't accomplish my purpose there because I wasn't able to communicate clearly. And all of this was before I even had a smartphone, so I didn't even have Google Translate or anything like that to help. I was on my own. But when I was with my translator, everything changed. I could navigate with relative ease. I could take care of logistics. And most importantly, I could accomplish what I was there to do, namely to pray for and support missionary friends there and communicate the gospel with clarity. People could understand me. No longer was guesswork required. I was connected to someone who could bridge the gap and make the message clear. Having the translator there helped me accomplish the purpose for which I went. That's the image I want us to carry with us into John 15 today. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. When I was separated from my translator, yeah, I could get around, but I wasn't effective. In fact, I absolutely, positively could not do what I was there to do without my translator. In the same way, you and I, we may be able to keep moving in life and ministry apart from Jesus, but the truth is, anything of eternal value will be utterly ineffective if we're not connected to Him. In fact, we cannot accomplish our God-given purposes apart from abiding in Christ. Here's the big idea for today. Seminary life, and frankly, all of life, will go very, very poorly apart from abiding in Christ. Seminary life and all of life will go very, very poorly apart from abiding in Christ. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, I ask you to unstick our ears, open our eyes so that we might hear and see what you have for us today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so what does this passage in John 15 say? We'll spend a lot of time here and in other places in the New Testament as well and elsewhere as we think about this formation theme of abide, but this passage is part of the upper room discourse, this long, intimate conversation that Jesus had with his disciples on the night that he was betrayed. These chapters are like a window into his heart at the most critical part of his ministry. Think about it. Judas has already slipped off into the night. The cross is only hours away. Jesus knows that the storm is coming, the betrayals, the denials, the scattering of his disciples, the agony of Gethsemane, the brutality of the cross. And what does he do? He doesn't panic. He doesn't rush. He doesn't whimper in a corner. He doesn't run. He gathers his friends. He washes their feet. He speaks life into them. These are his very last words before the storm hits, his final teaching before he's taken from them. And when someone is speaking those last words, we tend to listen up and pay attention. We know that we're hearing what matters most to the person speaking those last words. And what's remarkable to me is that Jesus doesn't give them a strategy for how to survive. He doesn't give them a list of talking points to defend their faith. He doesn't give them a list of talking points or an ability to fight back against the powers of Rome or the betrayal of Judas. Instead, he says, abide in me and I will abide in you. Why? I think it's because he knows that they are about to face the greatest test of their faith, and their willpower will not be enough. Their cleverness will not be enough. Their courage won't be enough. He wants to anchor them in something deeper than their own determination, namely, his own life flowing into them by the power of the Holy Spirit. To make this point, Jesus reaches for a familiar image, the image of the vineyard. He starts by saying, I'm the true vine. Now, Israel was God's vine, often in the Old Testament, but Israel was often unfruitful. It was God's vine, but unfruitful. Jesus says, he is the true vine, the faithful source of life for God's people. All that Israel was meant to be, faithful, fruitful, a light to the nations, is now being fulfilled in Jesus. He then says, my Father is the vine dresser, the gardener. The Father tends, prunes, and cares so that more fruit will grow. And sometimes the Father's pruning feels painful, but it's always purposeful, cutting away all of that which hinders life so that more life can come. And Jesus ends the metaphor with, you are the branches. Our sole purpose is to bear fruit by staying connected to the vine. The branch has no identity, no vitality apart from the vine. It exists only to channel the life of the vine through its branch into fruit. So thus, as branches, our job is to abide. What does that mean? Well, we're in seminary, so we're going to talk about Greek. The Greek word behind abide is meno, meno. It's translated here as abide, but it means also other glosses as well, to stay, to remain, to dwell, to make one's permanent home. And John really seems to love this word. He uses it a lot. He says that the Spirit abided on Jesus in John chapter 1. Jesus calls us to abide in his word in chapter 8. And fitting for the table, he says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him in John chapter 6. Meno, abiding, is about presence, nearness, ongoing relationship. It's not a quick visit. Abiding's not like checking into the hotel for a night when we're tired on a road trip. Instead, it's like moving into the house, unpacking our bags, making it our place because we live there. We belong there. We are rooted there. Jesus is saying, don't treat me like an occasional stop on your spiritual trip. Make your home in me, and I'll return the favor. Here's the hard truth, though. Apart from Jesus, he says we can do nothing. But if you think about it, if we operate in that sort of functional agnosticism that so often Christians are tempted by, we can get some stuff done. We can get some things done. Papers can get written without abiding in Christ. You can preach sermons without abiding in Christ. Ministries can be built and look successful from the outside without abiding in Christ. But Jesus says those things are nothing. They won't bear fruit that lasts. They won't carry eternal weight. They are not what we have been purposed for. They won't have his life flowing through them. Friends, it's possible to be very busy for Jesus and yet not be deeply connected to him. To live like a branch cut off from the vine, still green for a little while, but slowly drying up. The question is not whether you're doing enough and you're active. The question is, are we abiding? Are we abiding? Why does this passage matter, especially for us here in Wilmore, but seminary students generally connected to Asbury and seminarians and all of us around the seminary? Why does this matter? Well, here in Wilmore, we're surrounded by all of this great stuff. On the hour, we hear chapel bells, don't we? They ring out daily. Most of us love that. We have professors who pray before our classes, and they really care about us. We have neighbors that we live among who are preparing for ministry of one sort or another. And we live in this community where everything feels like it's pointing to God. And friends, that is a gift. It's a gift to live here among this community. And it's one of the reasons why people want to continue living here. I don't know if you've noticed this, but several people come to seminary and become a Wilmoron. That's the actual name, by the way. It's not Wilmoronite or Wilmorite, it's Wilmoron. I know it sounds funny, but that's true. People come to seminary and they stay. They fall in love with the community. But friends, a community like ours can lull us into a false sense of security. We can live in this community. We can pass people in the hallways. We can eat in the cafeteria with fellow seminarians. We can kneel at this very altar every week and yet still miss actually abiding in Christ. Friends, we can be near holy things and yet far from the Holy One. We can be near holy things and yet be far from the Holy One. It's dangerously easy to mistake proximity to sacred practices for intimacy with Jesus himself. Friends, you can earn a whole bunch of degrees without abiding in Christ. If you don't know, attend SBL, you'll find out. You can preach, sorry if that hit a little close to home. We can earn degrees without abiding in Christ. We can preach sermons, even powerful ones, without abiding in Jesus. We can look fruitful to others on the outside. We can be admired by other Christians and yet be drying up on the inside where no one else sees. The danger is that in seminary, we can substitute activity for intimacy. We can substitute activity for intimacy. We can substitute speaking about Jesus for speaking with him. We can lean on our gifts, thinking that they're our own, and forget about our utter dependence on him. Now that path may work for a while, but in the end it always results in burnout and pride and compromise. And perhaps worst of all, we can fool others for a long time, but we can't fool the vine. The vine knows whether we're connected or not. This is why we wanted Abide to be the formation theme for this academic year. We need to abide in Christ and he in us, because apart from him, we can do nothing. It's a promise. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We all need this reminder, especially students, staff, faculty, and administrators. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. How do we live this out? Well, abiding is not about striving harder. It's about staying closer. Abiding is not about striving. It's about staying closer. It's not about gritting our teeth and pushing through on our own effort. It's about resting in and remaining with the one who is our life. And the way we do that is by participating in what Wesley and the Anglican Church before him called the means of grace. Think of it like this. Imagine someone is overheated and he knows exactly where the refreshing water of the river is, but he's refusing to get in. He stands on the bank. He's thirsty and he's dry and he's complaining about how hot it is, all the while refusing to step into the very water that's right there in front of him. That's us sometimes. We say, I feel distant from God. I feel dry. I'm weary. But we neglect the very practices, the river that God has given us to soak in his grace. These means of grace are not magic tricks where we're tricking God to bless us. And they're not busy work, another thing to do to make us please God in our imagination. They're simply the ordinary, well-worn paths where God has promised to meet us with his grace. When we walk those paths, we're placing us where the Holy Spirit flows most freely. Here's a few. We can abide in his word. Not just reading for assignments or looking for sermon material or how to maybe construct your practice as a counselor, but letting the scripture read us as we encounter it. Letting it shape our heart before it shapes our papers and sermons and other things. Letting it become bread for our souls, not just ink on the page. And yes, doing that alone, but doing it together too. We can abide in his word. We can abide in prayer. Not just crisis prayers, the night before the exam you forgot to study for exams. But this ongoing, honest conversation with God throughout the day. Prayer is less about fancy words and more about being a living branch that's constantly drawing life from the vine. Praying this way is a humble reminder that we depend on God. It's a humble reminder that he's God and I'm not. We need him every moment and in every single way. We can abide in obedience. This one won't be very popular, but It's true. We can abide by keeping Jesus' commands, not to earn his love, but to remain in his love. His commands, friends, are not chains that weigh us down. They're holy boundaries that allow us to live a life of freedom within those boundaries. Every act of obedience to Jesus keeps us close to the vine. It's holiness. And holiness is about relationship. We can abide in community. We are branches together. A single branch cut off from the vine is utterly useless, and so is a branch trying to do all the work on its own. It's just not going to work. Could you imagine an apple tree with one branch producing one apple? It's not going to be a very good tree, is it? We don't want to be like that. We want instead to be branches together bearing fruit. Friends, seminary, though, can be isolating if we let it. But abiding in Christ means doing it with others. Make time to worship together. Make time to encourage one another. Make time to hold each other accountable and then bear fruit together. We can also abide in many other ways, other means of grace, worship, fasting, works of mercy, remembering our baptism, and yes, communion that we'll celebrate together. The Lord refreshes us and sustains us in a thousand ways. When we walk these well-worn paths, we step into the river where his grace flows. Amen? So the question is God willing to meet me? He is. He is. The question is, am I stepping into the river? What if we do? What if we abide in Christ? Thriving in seminary and ministry doesn't come from frantic energy, but from abiding presence. We would teach and preach with depth because we've been with Jesus. Not because we've mastered a clever outline or told a funny joke or read all the commentaries. We would lead without burning out because we're rooted in his life, not because we figured out the perfect self-care routine. That's important, but that's not how it's going to work. We would endure criticism and obscurity, both of which are sure to come, because our identity is anchored in him, not because we've learned how to thicken our skin or manage our public reputation. We'd love others with holy love because his Holy Spirit is flowing through us, and the outworking of that is holy love out of our lives to others, not because we just happen to have a compassionate personality or kind of feeling guilted into loving because someone told us to once at a chapel in Estes. Thriving through abiding looks different than striving, sisters and brothers. It's ministry fueled by prayer, not planning, not only planning. It's fruit that comes from the Spirit, not just outcomes driven by spreadsheets and best practices and the latest leadership fads, though those things can be important. It's confidence that rests in God's calling, not in the applause of others. It's peace in the storm, not panic in the silence. It's a life poured out as worship, not a resume that's built up for self-recognition. This is holiness of heart and life, is what we're talking about. A holiness that doesn't stay hidden inside, but shows itself in word, in deed, and in love. The love of God so fully fills our heart, so completely that it cannot help but flow outward in love for our neighbors. That's what it means to thrive as a branch of the true vine. Amen? And then imagine if we did it together as a seminary community. Imagine a whole community of branches truly abiding together. What kind of fruit might our community bear if that was the case? What kind of fruit might God produce through this seminary as we abide in him together? Just imagine it. That brings us to the table. Communion is one of the most tangible ways that we practice abiding. Here, Jesus takes ordinary bread and wine, fills them with his presence, his grace, and his life. Here, we receive. We don't achieve. He's done that. Here, we're reminded that the vine gave his body to be broken. He gave his blood to be poured out, so that his life could flow into us. Here we come forward, not proving ourselves, but we come as branches, as God's vineyard planted here at ATS, ready to receive life from the vine and bear fruit that really lasts. We come together to the same table, nourished by the same vine, that we might bear fruit together. Friends, at the start of this new semester, don't settle for busyness without abiding. You're going to be busy. Abide in Christ. Don't mistake chapel attendance or religiously following the syllabi or theological debate in the dorm for intimacy with Christ. Abide in him. Rest in him. Receive from him. Because apart from him, we can do nothing. But with him, our lives and our ministries can bear fruit at last. So come to the table. Come abide. Jesus at the table, friends, is the antidote for striving and coming up empty. Jesus at the table is the antidote for striving and coming up empty. Come and receive the life of the vine. I want to invite the Reverend Dr. Kylie McCormick to lead us at the table.